We have a reading from Acts in the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
لأنه هكذا أحب الله العالم حتى بذل ابنه الوحيد لكي لا يحلك كل من يؤمن به بل تكون له الحياة الأبدية.
Car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son Fils unique, afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point, mais qu'il a la vie éternelle.
神爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的，不至灭亡，反得永生。
Yohana, mlango wa tatu, mstari wa kumi na sita. Kwa maana jinsi hii Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu, hata kamtoa mwana wake wa pekee, ili kila mtu amwaminie asipotee bali awe na uzima wa milele.
Yohana isato, ikumine sano nemo. Na kinya saa nyanjite, ensego ikakamrua mwana wa yomo mwaima, erinde monto ndewensi oyora mwegene tasira, kure ndabe nubo gimabuwa kare na kare.
Gasko lit, simit, sim, o gitlak, hagik, himjogok. Ganwit, ginwach, koloch, higulk, gayak. E legik man nan nim an sim simtuis lut. E nit heal ni dim di nolot. E nit dim ant wit golch gan didis.
The good news according to St. John. And Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. At the congregation I was last the called pastor before I retired, my predecessor, Joel Nickel, was quite the artist. And among other things, he designed the pyramids that the church used. So, for example, the cloth hanging from the altar, this beautiful cloth, are called pyramids, as are these. And the pyramids that Joel designed for Pentecost Sunday, and there were two of them that hung from the altar, and they were orange and red flames. And if you would have taken them and turned them horizontally, they would have been a great pattern for a race car. So we affectionately called them our NASCAR pyramids. Red, the color of life, energy. And as fantastic as those pyramids were that Joel designed, this is absolutely magnificent. When I saw this for the first time, I just like, wow. And I love the explanation that Dan had Christina put into the bulletin, and that the main purpose of Christian art is to get us to think about the real and eternal mysteries of the faith. And those NASCAR pyramids that Joel designed, and this beautiful work of art, are powerful visual reminders of what Pentecost means. But as I thought about our Acts chapter 2 reading for this morning, it struck me, and you can disagree with me if you so desire, but it struck me that the first Pentecost was more auditory oriented than visual. And most of the time on Pentecost Sunday, the emphasis falls upon the apostles speaking in all these different languages that were understood by all these different people. right? But to me, it seems that that first Pentecost miracle was just as much about the miracle of hearing as it was about speaking. And if you look carefully in our Acts chapter 2 reading for today, there are six references to sound and hearing. And our text says that each one of those people gathered on that first Pentecost could hear them, the apostles, speaking in their own tongue or their own language. They could hear them speaking in their own tongue. So, on this celebration of Pentecost, I want to say the ears have it. How marvelous is the gift of sound and hearing. Sound waves travel through the air. They strike our outer ear canal and a membrane called the eardrum. The eardrum transmits these vibrations of sound to three tiny, exquisite little bones that you will remember the names of as soon as I say them. The hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup, so named because of their shape. These bones connect the eardrum to the inner ear, which is filled with fluid. And the movement of this fluid stimulates little hair-like projections that in turn transmit signals to the auditory nerve, which in turn carry that information to the human brain, which in turn interprets it as sound. Wow. Isn't that something? And it just happens. How blessed we are to have ears and to be able to hear. How blessed were those on that first Pentecost who heard the apostles speaking to them in their own tongue, in their own languages. And the list of places from which those people were gathered that Rick read over so effortlessly this morning, the present-day countries would be Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Turkey, Syria, Libya, the island of Crete, and the city of Rome. Quite a collection. And they were what we would refer to as Jews from the diaspora. Jewish people who had migrated to different parts of the Mediterranean world and the Roman Empire, and they came back to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the great Jewish festivals, which was also named Pentecost. It marked the giving of the law to Moses from God on Mount Sinai. So the early Christians simply took that name, Pentecost, and baptized it, so to speak, with a new Christian meaning. And what did those hearers hear on that first Pentecost being proclaimed, each in their own language? Well, they heard the mighty works of God proclaimed. And in our reading for next Sunday from Acts chapter 2, we'll hear a little bit more specificity about those great and mighty works of God. But they centered, of course, in the message of Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and ascended, and of how he was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures and prophecies, and that salvation depends not on what we do, but our salvation depends completely and entirely, 100%, in what Jesus accomplished for us in his dying and rising again. You know, there are so many references in the scriptures to the importance of hearing what God has to say. And I'm just going to mention a few of them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 are referred to as the Great Shema, which takes its name from the first word in the Hebrew text, hear, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4, we have a record of God showing a vision to the prophet Ezekiel about a valley littered with nothing but dry bones. And God asks Ezekiel in this vision, can these dry bones live? To which Ezekiel replies, well, Sovereign Lord, you are the only one that know the answer to that question. And then the Almighty Creator God begins to breathe life into those bones, and they come alive, thanks to the breath of God. Oftentimes, when he concluded a parable, Jesus would say to those who had been hearing him, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, St. Paul reminds us that faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is through the word of Christ. Sometimes during a worship service, as the scripture readings are being read, I just like to close my eyes and listen. Rather than following along the words, I just want to close my eyes and listen. And sometimes there's something about that that concentrates your powers of thinking and taking those words in. And we were all blessed this morning as various individuals read to us John chapter 3, verse 16, in those various languages and tongues. Thank you again for enriching our service with that. How much we need to hear God's personal address to each and every one of us. We have God's word through which he speaks to us and addresses us in all kinds of situations. For example, sometimes we may feel a bit lost, a bit disoriented in life. And we can be reminded by the psalmist who says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes when we may be plagued by anxieties and uncertainties, we remember, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Or we remember the words of Jesus from John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. If ever we are uncertain about our standing with God, there is the simple declaration in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. The other day I happened to read in one of my devotions, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. To him who opens, I will come in. I've always appreciated the prayer in the old Lutheran hymnal, the TLH, called the Collect for the Word that comes near the end of the service. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which is ours through faith in Christ Jesus. If I'm not mistaken, I think that prayer originally appeared in the Book of Common Prayer in the year 1549. You've probably noticed by now that I wear hearing aids because my hearing needs help. And the last thing that Judy said to me as we were leaving our house this morning, "Do you have your hearing aids in?" Now, getting old is so much fun. Well, sometimes we don't always listen very well to the people who are talking to us. Sometimes we practice selective hearing or listening. Sometimes we don't always hear the message that God wants to give to us. We close our ears. We refuse to listen. That's why God continually needs to send to us His Holy Spirit, who is our hearing enabler. Martin Luther put it this way in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed: "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith, even as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth." On this Pentecost 2024, may God bless our ears so that we truly hear His gospel promise in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us. And may we hear that so clearly that we give our lives to Him as our Lord, and that we seek to please Him in all our doings, with all of our words, with all of our actions. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.